bring the Goleta Design Review Board to order. May we have the, are we going to start with a roll call? Mr. Markham?
Okay. Member White?
Here.
Member King?
Here.
Member Iman?
Here.
Member Brown?
Here.
Member DeGasis?
Here.
Member Clinton?
Here.
And Member Whalen?
Here. Next is the call to order, which I have done, and the Pledge of Allegiance, if you'll all please stand.
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I just want to add a note of welcome to our new board member. Well, not brand new, but it's the first time you've been to the meeting, right? If you would, no? Missed one before? All right, then. I was going to have you give a little introduction, but I think for expediency's sake, we are under a time pressure, as I understand. The city council needs the facility at 5:30. So if anybody tends to get too long-winded, I will cut you off for terms of expediency. All right,
very
then.
Very nice way of saying it.
All right, at this time, the public will have an opportunity to comment on any non-agenda item relevant to the jurisdiction of the city. Reasonable time limits are imposed on each topic and speaker in accordance with the Ralph Brown Act of California. No action or discussion will take place on any items brought forward by a member of the public that are not posted on our agenda. The Design Review Board may respond to statements made or questions asked and may direct the staff to report back on the topic at a future meeting. So are there any amendments or adjustments to the agenda, Ms. Chang?
Mr. Whalen, let's ask the clerk if there's anyone in the public that wants to speak on an item not on the agenda.
Thank you. So we'll begin by reviewing and approving the Design Review Board minutes of April 25th, 2023. Hopefully people have
okay,
had it.
Mr. No? Whalen, a few things, point of order. One, we do have to check to see if anyone is trying to zoom in to speak on an item not on the agenda
right first. Thank you.
I don't have any speaker slips, but if there are any members of the Zoom webinar who wish to speak, please raise your hand and I will call on you. And I'm not seeing any hands raised at this time.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Markham and Ms. Chang, for that reminder. So from there, we'll move on to reviewing and approving the DRB board minutes for April 25th. If people have had a chance to review them, and if there are, I'd like to have a motion to approve them.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Second.
And we have a motion and a second. Are there any discussions regarding changes to the minutes? Hearing none, I'll call for a vote. Mr. Markham?
Member White?
Yes. Yes, yay.
Member King?
Yes.
Member Iman?
Yes.
Member Brown?
Aye.
Member DeGasis?
Yes.
Member Clinton?
Abstain.
And Member Whalen?
Yes. Thank you. Moving on, the next agenda item is 320 Stork Road, the launch point signage. Do I need to read much of this into the record, Ms. Chang?
That will be for the clerk to read in.
All right. Then, Mr. Markham, if you would read the item into the record.
That is item B1, 320 Stork Road, APN 073-100-019. Launch point signage with California Environmental Quality Act notice of exemption utilizing section 15311, case numbers 23-0017-DRB and 23-0021-ZC.
Chair Whalen, we are going to ask you to the board to continue this item to the next meeting on June 13th.
So, as, thank you, Ms. Chang. As I understand it, we need to vote to continue this item. So I will call on Mr. Markham.
I make a motion to continue the item.
Right.
Can I get a second?
So we have a motion and a second. Thank you very much.
No, wait. Somebody else has a second?
Second.
Okay.
Oh, I thought you did.
No, I was firsted.
No. Right. I think we're ready for Mr. Markham to poll the members.
Member White.
Aye.
Member King.
Aye.
Member Iman.
Aye.
Member Brown.
Yes.
Member DeGasis.
Yes.
Member Clinton.
Aye.
And Member Whalen.
Yes. All right. Thank you. Moving on to the next item, C1, the 180 North Fairview Avenue. Mr. Markham, if you'd read the item into the record while the proponents come to the dais.
That is item C1, 180 North Fairview Avenue, APN 069-110-054, Fuel Depot Addition and Site Improvements, case numbers 22-0006-DPAM and 22-0004-MOD.
So the DRB actions for consideration. Before that, I would like to have declarations from all members of the board, and I'm going to start with Ms. DeGasis.
I had a site visit and no ex parte discussion.
No new site visit, no ex parte.
Site visit and no ex parte.
I have visited the site and had no ex parte discussions.
Site visit, no ex parte discussions.
Site visit, no ex parte.
700 site visits and no ex parte.
So he's there all the time and not talking. Can we have a presentation by the staff member, Ms. McGuire, please?
Thank you, Acting Chair Whalen. Due to today's time constraint on the items, I'm going to keep my presentation on this this item very brief. This item is in addition to Fuel Depot Station, approximately 839 square feet. The addition's at the rear of the building, so away from Fairview. It will be visible along Encina Road, and the there's also some site improvements, including landscaping, which would bring the percentage of landscaping on the lot up to 13.7%. And there are three new parking spaces proposed as part of the project, two on the southeast corner of the site, and one which is the parking space which is triggering the modification request as this part of this proposal for an ADA space to be located within 10 feet of the public right-of-way along Encina Road. The DRB's purview today is to comment on the aesthetics of the project, and if they can, if they are able, they could give an advisory recommendation to the zoning administrator. And I will pass it back to Acting Chair Whalen.
All right, very good. Thank you, Ms. McGuire. So if the applicants would lean into your microphones and introduce yourselves for the public record.
Hi, Gayla Ray Macon with Flowers & Associates, land use agent for the applicant.
Tracy Brunel with BBP Architecture Architects.
Aaron Carroll, landscape architect.
All right, then. You can proceed with your presentation.
You may remember this project from a while ago. That entitlement was for a brand new market, and this and that entitlement expired. And this is a new application for keeping the space and adding to it and doing a full remodel, replacing the service bays and turning it into a nice large point market. The gas station would remain as is. There'll be some landscape improvements and some frontage improvements with the sidewalk. With that, I will pass it on to the architect. I know we're short on time, so we'll be brief.
Let's skip ahead to the site plan.
Here's your pointer.
Okay, good. The gray is the existing footprint, and the flesh color is the new addition. The two parking spaces are being added back here. This is the accessible parking space that has the modification in the street setback. The existing building has this shape and has these Dutch gables on the ends, so we're basically extending back this direction, so we'll just do a bigger roof that goes up and over, and we're not going to have the Dutch gables. You can see in the new elevations. So the ends just have a regular gable breakdown. We're adding a new trash enclosure, which is shown here. Basically, everything is new. The siding is now plaster. The exterior cladding is plaster. The doors and windows are new. The roof will be a standing seam metal roof, which is also new. Let's see, we covered the parking spaces. You know, there's some equipment around the back. There's now that these are mostly condensers for the coolers. This is an electrical transformer, switch gear equipment. And I think I'll let Aaron go ahead and talk about the landscape changes.
There's some existing evergreen pears along this property line that we're going to leave in place, as we're going to leave the existing queen palms as well along Encina Road. And we're adding a new coral tree right here in front of the trash enclosure. Screening the trash enclosure and transformer with Raphiolepis Yeddo hawthorn shrubs. We've got vines on the new fence around the equipment area, and just low grasses kind of coming over to the break time property, and some New Zealand flax over here. So kind of a low water use but lush look.
Mm-hmm. let's see here. I think the other item is that we are adding, so this is our lighting study, and there are going to be new lights added underneath the eaves. They're shown here in small light lines. The existing canopy remains, and so that's not part of the proposal. Back to this. Thank you. So this is the spec for the lights. If you look at the spec that's called out on the other sheet, you'll see that there's these Kelvin designations here, and we're doing 30s, which are 3,000. And I think that may be everything.
All right, Mr. Brunel. Let's see. I'm going to ask the clerk if there are any public comments on this item, either in person or virtually. Mr. Markham?
I do not have any speaker slips, but if there are any members of the Zoom webinar who wish to speak, please raise your hand. And I don't see any hands raised at this time.
All right, thank you. And now I'd like to have questions from our board members. Would anybody like to go first? Have questions? Yes, John.
I have a question, or maybe two. On the side of that building, which is parallel to and adjacent to Encina, is there going to be any kind of planting involved there in terms of hiding that side?
Flip to the landscape plan, and Mr. Carroll.
Yeah, we do have a coral tree between the trash enclosure and the sidewalk. Raphiolepis shrubs here. There's two existing queen palms there, so there will be some height. You will obviously see the building from Encina, but there will be landscaping between.
Okay, thank you.
Anything else, Ms. Brown?
The scope of our review today is just the new. It's not anything that's existing, like the pole sign.
Correct.
Which I'll come have a comment about later. Thank you.
No? Any other questions from board members, Mr. Gasis?
Mr. Carroll, can you let us know what the size of those RAF yellow hawthorns are? I assume that's that sinuous line that is more or less parallel to Encina.
Yeah, they're 15 gallon.
Okay, great. Thanks. Another question, the hatch mark, it is all limonium or status? That's where there's currently lawn, is that right?
The
along the little
the status is on both sides of that walkway coming from the Encina sidewalk.
Yeah, and then at the front planter on the corner, that's also limonium.
That's all existing to remain.
I noticed, and I might be mistaken in what I recall, but there's lawn there now. Is that true? And you've got a hatch mark there, so it looks like it's intended to be status. It says existing.
No, yeah, it's existing. The cross hatches, they're kind of similar hatches. That's existing to remain.
Okay.
There's lawn, lantana, queen palms.
Ah. Okay. So I think I mistook as I was looking at it that the hatching was all sea lavender or limonium. So. Yeah, I'll comment on that now that my question's answered. Thanks.
If there are no other questions, I have a couple. Could you, either Mr. Carroll or Mr. Burnell, describe the fence that is around the equipment, height, materials, et cetera? Do you have something in mind?
I don't know that we've decided on that. Aaron, is there anything particularly, so you're going to grow something on it, so would you just do
chain link? I'm putting a vine on it. It might be black vinyl, or it might be a wood slat.
Approximate height?
That's not really my scope, but think it's a...
I realize that we're just at conceptual.
6 feet, yeah.
And on that same point, I saw one light fixture specified in the package. Do you have others? Specifically, you mentioned the new light fixtures underneath the eave. Is that the one that's on the plans?
Yes. Very good. That's the only one we're doing.
All right. So I think we can turn to comments, please. And I'll start with you, Ms. DeGasis, since you seem to have one.
So my only comment would be in the areas that have lawn now, that it would be replaced with a low water use ground cover of some sort.
Ms. Clinton?
I will second Martha's comment.
All right. Ms. White?
Oh, no comments at this time.
No comments. Turning down.
No comment. No comment for me.
You know, I walk by this project twice a week on my way home from Gold's Gym, to where I live. So I'm pretty familiar with it. And I kind of like the lawn that you're going to put in status. I think that's kind of nice. There's not much... a lot of hardscape around there, and I appreciate that there's going to be more landscaping, but I sort of like the lawn. Anyway, so my question, so I'll go with whatever you have, because the back is going to look better than it does now, that's for sure. But my only question is about something we're not reviewing, so I'm going to make an editorial comment and request that the applicant change his pole sign to a monument sign, because this is a... what is it, Ms. McGinnis? It's a view corridor, right? Fairview? Right? A scenic view corridor.
Correct. Fairview is a scenic view corridor.
Okay. So it would be nice if we could eliminate that pole sign and do a nice monument sign. So I'm surprised Mr. Price isn't here today. I would have told him that personally. But anyway, so it'd be great. Because it is a little unsightly. It is, you know, we've got a big residential area right across the street, and... I don't know. I don't think it kind of works there. Anyway, that's my only comment. I'm for the project. It'll improve it. Thank you.
A very, very nice comment. Mr. King? Nothing. I just have a few points. Despite it being a gas station, it had originally a very residential feel. You know, it had a brick wainscot, which had been painted over, and small paned windows. It seems unfortunate to me that it's losing that residential scale and quality with the flat bands of plaster, and there is a wainscot, and large-ish windows. I would like to suggest that not to change the windows at all, but they have some be broken up in some smaller scale fenestration and or lights. I think that's about all I have in general comments, is that it retain a bit more of the residential feel. I realize you're moving away from that and stripping off a lot of the junk that has accumulated, but I would like to see some sense of that remain. And I think that could be done in the windows, perhaps even adjusting the windows, the door and window opening at the entry, so it's symmetrical with the little hip that's there. That's about all I have. So would anyone like to make a motion, especially towards retaining or the grass, was it? You'll have to help me out with that. Do we need to make a motion? Karis?
Oh, yeah, sorry.
Do we need to make a motion?
Yes.
We need
this
to make
a motion. Would be for preliminary approval with whatever condition the board would like to impose. And the preliminary, actually, a recommendation for preliminary approval to the zoning administrator. That would be the motion, subject to the DRB findings.
It was the 2 points about the wall.
I recommend that we approve for conceptual design case number 22-0006, DPAM 22-004 mod, to move on to preliminary final design with the following comments: that the fenestration be modified to break up the large expansive glass, either with smaller lights or another method, and that the landscaping be landscaping plan is presented, the areas that are shown to be retained, the grass or lawn areas, be changed out to a low water use ground cover of some sort, and that the fencing be specified so on the drawings. And I believe that's all we had.
Yes, very good.
And could you conclude the subject to findings, please?
Subject to the findings of the staff report.
And be forwarded to the zoning administrator.
I'll second.
So we have a motion and a second. Is there any discussion? Anything you would like added to that, Ms. Brown?
I just have a question about the fence, because we don't know the materials, right?
Well, they're coming back.
Right, but for final. Right. So did we not want to make some sort of recommendation? I know you just, we're just leaving it open to their, whatever they're going to do.
Well, that for final approval, there will be details on the fence, its materials, height, and...
Okay, I just wondered if you wanted to specify anything. That's your...
Yeah, I would. Okay. I will add that to your motion if that's acceptable.
We will add to the motion that the fencing be specified height and materials for preliminary final.
Good. I think that's about...
I'll second.
Good. That's approved by both the motion and the seconder. So I think we're ready for a vote. Mr. Markham.
Member White.
Aye.
Member King.
Aye.
Member Iman.
Aye.
Member Brown.
Yes.
Member DeGasis.
Yes.
Member Clinton.
Aye.
And Member Whalen.
Yes. So the motion passes. Thank you very much, and nice to see you again, Mr. Carroll. right. Our next item is 6975 Santa Felicia Drive. If I could ask the planner, which is Ms. McGuire. Oh, no, the clerk. I'm sorry. Mr. Markham, if you could read the item into the record.
Item C2, 6975 Santa Felicia Drive, APN 073-440-026, Stork Medical Center, two new buildings and associated improvements, an amendment to the Camino Real specific plan, 21-0005-DP, 21-0002-SP, 22-0002-ORD, and 23-0001-DPAM.
All right, may I have declarations? And I'm going to, by means of habit, start with Ms. DeGasis.
A site visit and no ex parte discussion.
No new site visit, no ex parte.
No site visit, no ex parte.
Site visit and no ex parte.
Site visit, no ex parte.
I have made a site visit, and I also had a phone conversation with Ms. Shizes on Friday, and I met with her and the lighting engineer today, Mr. Mahoney, to talk about the lighting plan.
Site visit, no ex parte.
Very good. So now we can move to a presentation by Ms. McGuire from the planning staff.
Thank you very much, Acting Chair Whalen and members of the board. This is the final item on today's agenda, so we can take our time with this one up until a certain point. I have revised my staff presentation to make it as short as possible, but I will be here throughout the meeting should any questions arise. I just wanted to address one thing because there were some, as part of the press release and media outlets, there were some members of the public suggesting that this would be a good site for housing. And this parcel is located in the Santa Barbara Airport Safety Zone 2, where new dwellings aren't allowed. So this project started in December 2021. It was 1 month after I started working at the City of Goleta. I was excited to be assigned this project. Staff and the applicant have been working through a lot of issues back and forth in order for the project to be complete. I also wanted to let you know that on the Zoom link today, we have public works staff who will be available should we have any questions arise that may sort of overlap with design issues. And the project is ready for, it is complete project, and it's ready for your recommendations today. The decision maker for the project is the City Council. At today's hearing, the DRB should focus on the design elements of the project and whether or not the DRB findings for the project can be made, and whether or not you can recommend preliminary approval of the project to the Planning Commission. Briefly, the entitlements for the project include a lot of actions sort of to untangle it from the original Camino Real specific plan that was approved under the County of Santa Barbara. In June 2021, City Council approved an initiation to remove the parcel from the specific plan so that the project can use the city's current general plan and zoning ordinance. The project before you is designed and meets current general plan policies and our current Title 17 Municipal Code. Finally, a new development plan to construct the medical office buildings and daycare use and associated site improvements, and an adjustment to the development plan in order for the height to be 1 foot 9 inches over the maximum height of 35 feet in the CC zone. The additional height is specific to the gable peaks on both buildings. The towers are also over the maximum height of 35 feet, but there is an exception to the height limits for those two towers since they include elevator and stair towers. If that was kind of confusing, I'm happy to show that when we get to that page on the screen. The height adjustment will be up for consideration at the Planning Commission. I just wanted to make the board and members of the public aware that parking is met with the proposal. The requirement is one space for every 300 square feet of development. It also includes the ice rink. The total required spaces is 222. The total proposed is 245. With that, you have a lot of work to do in reviewing this project, so I'll turn it back to Acting Chair Whalen.
Thank you, Ms. McGuire, and I will turn it over to our applicants. Could you please introduce yourselves and Show us what you got.
My name is Kim Shizes, and I am...
Are you on?
Gosh, okay. My name is Kim Shizes, and I am the project manager, project planner for this project. Mm-hmm. My partners in crime are Paul Poirier and Chris Gilliland.
And Erica Kessler.
And Erica Kessler. They will probably do a much better job than I could ever do at discussing with you and describing the design concepts and some of the details. But just I just want to take a quick minute and give you just a little bit of background, because you never have the you never get the benefit of really understanding what goes into thinking about a project and why it's before you from a planning perspective. I've been working on this project since 1995. It was originally part of the, well, it still is part of the entire vision for Camino Real. It was originally supposed to be a roller rink and an MTD site. And we went through the entire process to get a development plan approved for those two uses on the piece that you're seeing now, the vacant piece. And we went as far as to build the parking lot for them and the bioswale that's next to them, and many of the utilities that are stubbed in, and the curbs that go around, and the roads that go around. But the person that was gonna do the roller rink decided that Santa Barbara was a better location, and so the roller rink is at Earl Warren. And the MTD decided that they did not want a transfer center, a transfer station at this corner, and so they pulled away. And so this area has sat vacant since that time. And over these years, we've thought of many different things that might work. You know, for a while, we thought, oh, miniature golf. And then we waited to see if the ice rink would happen, to see, well, maybe we should think about something else. A couple years ago, I don't know if you heard, but we thought about a gas station and a car wash. And, you know, that didn't work, and maybe that was a blessing, because this is a use that we really feel the community needs. There's so much talk about housing and building housing, and there's been a lot of housing that's been built in Western Goleta. And one thing we don't have out here is medical office space. You know, we're all driving to Patterson or downtown for anything as simple as a dentist. And we don't have tenants, but it's one of those things that we feel like if we build that, they will come. So we enlisted the help of some very talented people to help design this project. It's basically an infill piece. You know, it kind of has a parking lot, it has a road, it has roads, and we're just sort of plugging in. And so it took a little, I think it took a lot of creativity to fit these buildings on here in a way that was attractive, but I think these guys have done it, at least in my opinion.
All right, well, I'm Paul Poirier, the architect, and I'm going to show you guys the project. So there's two buildings on the site, and we're continuing this kind of Spanish style that the Camino Real Marketplace has, and that the adjacent hotel has, and Home Depot, and everything on this side of the street anyway, kind of has this Mediterranean style, as opposed to a lot of the other stuff we've done down around Fairview. It's a completely different look. This building's designed to hide the mechanical equipment, but still you look like a traditional building. The little tiny portion that's going above the height limit is the peak of this gigantic hip roof that comes over here, and it'd be a shame to just chop the top of that thing off just to meet the height requirement. Unfortunately, if we shove the whole thing down, you'll never see the roof from the ground, and we're really tight on our floor-to-floor heights here for medical use. This is sort of where the elevator tower would be, and you would go up the elevator or up a stair on that end and be able to walk on this covered balcony across the parking lot side of the building to enter different suites if it gets subdivided, or enter a major tenant if we get somebody to take the whole floor. There's also a little covered arcade you could walk under on the first floor, and there's a stairway, exit stair that comes up over here that you would be able to walk behind and pop out down on the end. This portion here has sort of a mansard roof that comes up to a parapet and a big mechanical well behind this area So this portion from here to here is where all the mechanical equipment goes, and this portion is just one gigantic tile roof, and the units would plug into the sidewood ductwork and go down to the lower floor. And the proportions of the building are, this is the project before, as it is now, with the ice rink here, the vacant parcel here, and the big parking lot that doesn't have very good landscaping currently happening in that lot. And as part of the work that Chris is going to do, he'll talk about it later, is kind of reforesting that parking lot so that we have some shade trees and things going on. So here we see building A down on this end, and then the same building mirrored on this side. And those entry towers with the stairway are here, and here would probably be the main entry point for tenants to get to the second floor. So we've kind of put a parking field in the middle, and although we could have made this building deeper and eliminated this parking lot and jammed more parking between the two buildings, we think that with the entrance here and here, it's better served with a parking field that goes around, especially for a medical use. If people are disabled, they'll be able to have more people closer to the entrance and where the elevator is to get to the second floor. This is where the large sort of hip roof occurs here and here, and then the mechanical well is in the middle here, and the entry tower is there and there. Oh, yeah. Yep, we have a daycare yard over here on this end of the building as well. Kim wanted to accommodate a daycare on the first floor that had the required outdoor area for that use so that people could possibly, if they worked here or if they were coming here, they could check their kids in over here and they could be entertained while their parents were getting medical treatment, or if they're employees of the facility. We have the civil preliminary grading plan worked out, and so Pete Sylvia over at Stantec has kind of laid that out. Here's all the parking we're getting. We developed, you'll see when Chris shows you his plan, this nice walkway between the two buildings. So we're continuing the connection of the buildings to the sidewalk over here, so it's very walkable. You could walk up here to get to the entrance of the building, walk across the front, walk over down a ramp over here to the bus stop on this end. We have covered bike racks over here. It's kind of like locker boxes for your bike, as well as freestanding bike bollards behind these columns along the walkway and some out here on that end there. So we know that like UCSB kids are all, if they don't have cars here, they're probably riding a bike to go to the grocery store, and so that would accommodate those uses. And we have EV charging stations planned for along this row here so that people could park their cars there and charge them up if they were coming in for a visit or an appointment, or if they were an employee here and wanted to charge your car.
Can I ask you a question here?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, Jennifer, but you're talking on this. On the bicycle parking, I notice in my neighborhood there are a lot of people with EV bikes.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm wondering, will the bicycle parking accommodate those kinds of bikes? Or if somebody wanted to plug in and recharge their bicycles, they could do that in the back?
Yeah, we would have probably outlets
okay. Inside
of these locker boxes.
All right. So
you could do that.
Thank you.
I don't know. I wouldn't really suggest putting outlets over here. It might encourage people to come hang out there and watch TV in the middle of the night.
I just wanted to make sure that you're accommodating that.
Yeah, I see that at the public library downtown. People bring their TVs, plug them in outside, hang out, make a little encampment of a bunch of people.
I only did that once.
Let's see. So here's the kind of floor plan of the lower level of one of the typical buildings. Here's the exit stair coming down that you can walk behind. And then here's the entry tower with the stairway and elevator going up to the second floor. Have a little electrical room back over here, and this kind of becomes one structural form here of that big, tall hip roof. And then the second floor, you would arrive up on this kind of balcony and be able to walk undercover on the second floor and look out towards the ice skating rink from this building. Whether the men's and women's restroom goes exactly there or gets worked out with the TI, we'll figure that out later when we get some tenant interest. Then this is the roof plan I was talking about, where we have this large hip roof element and these little mansards coming up to a parapet, and the parapet will be able to hide all of the equipment that we have here for both floors. And that's the elevator tower, kind of entry tower on the corner there. And this mansard roof wraps around there. So we've done this before on some other buildings, and it works out really well. And this particular dimension as well is kind of designed around a medical office use. So it allows for offices around the perimeter, a hallway, two offices in the middle, another hallway, and then offices around that perimeter. So we did a building similar to this in Lompoc, and that dimension can't really be compressed without ruining some efficiencies and layout on the interior. And also, we have to be a little careful about having tons of windows on the lower level over here, because a lot of those doctors want total privacy. So depending on the use that goes in, some of those may be frosted glass for privacy. Others, if, say, we get an optometrist and they have a sales area, we would then have clear glass, but it just depends on the use that's happening in there, if privacy is needed or people are getting undressed, right? And here's the building elevations. So this is of Building A, which is the westernmost building looking to the east. So here's the entry tower with an entrance here and another door to a suite down there, and the electrical room is down here, and here's that mansard that's hiding the equipment behind it. That is the side that faces the parking lot. So the south elevation, you can see that roof again, exceeding 35 feet, but really it's just the tiniest little part right there. And then here's the street elevation over here. So we have higher windows for privacy and a couple of windows over here that will either have to have shades or be frosted or be clear depending on the specific use for the specific tenant improvement. Little balcony element over here. And then this is showing the arbor that we have over the wall that's coming off of the building like that and providing a little bit of shade on that western side for the daycare yard. And you can see it over there as well in the side view. And then we have the same exact building mirrored the other way. So on the site, these two towers kind of talk to each other because they're located on the site right opposite and everything works out. And then at the end of the building, when you're driving around the corner, we have two nice sides with that nice big roof. And over here, when you're coming into the ice skating rink, we also have two nice elevations with this big roof kind of hiding everything. So I won't go through that building because it's the same, just mirrored. But we'll get to the interesting stuff, which is Chris's stuff. Okay, Chris, I'll turn it over to you. Just tell me when to turn them.
Okay. So I'm going to switch so I can point.
Yeah. Maybe. Let's do it.
Okay. So maybe let's start with the. We've gone through all our CDs at this point. Even now we're just here for prelim, but. So this is basically the preliminary plan for the project. And as Paul pointed out, here's our ice rink, Building A, Building B, Santa Felicia, Stork Road, Fire Department, existing ice rink parking lot, which we will add many trees to, which have to be native because we're adjacent to our bioswale. But, you know, along the Santa Felicia Drive, we're using a lot of sort of columnar upright trees because the space is somewhat limited. We have two site signs, one at this corner, so you can see it as you're coming down Stork. Second is the main entry. The sign is right there, this little spot. And, you know, and then really a kind of a wide variety of trees. We really want to get a lot of as much shade as we can to reduce the heat island effect. And so especially along where we have the larger beds along the southern border, so we can shade all these parking spaces, including the EV parking. And then, as Paul mentioned, we have a nice connection between the two buildings. And, you know, we have our four little plum trees there. And the lighting is kind of shown here also in yellow. You know, beyond that, just creating a nice sense of entry coming in. And let's see what else. I mean, you know, a lot of trees here at the corner right now. It's devoid of any vegetation.
The other thing that, about the building is that the...
I want to mic up.
We put the big overhangs for the first and second floor walkways to the south. So that's going to give additional shade depth for the sun as it comes around in the spring equinox where it still might be hot. We don't want to overheat those spaces.
Yeah. Okay. And so, you know, trash area also is out here along with the EV required electrical units. We do have a kind of a large transformer right here, which we'll be screening out. And also sort of fixing up the frontage that has some existing trees in it, but we're going to add some more native planting to kind of somewhat screen that from view, so we're not just looking right into a big parking lot. So prelim plan, Wheelo calcs, and then we kind of run you through the renderings real quick, or just sort of leave them out for you to peruse. Excuse me. Kind of hard to tell.
What do you think the ages of it? What do you think the ages of the trees that are shown in the rendering?
2-3 years.
Right.
3 to 50. We are. We are calling out quite a lot of large specimen trees because, you know, we want the instant effect if we can. But, yeah, these are obviously a little older, as shown here.
And some of them are phreatophytes, so they don't do well if you try to buy them big.
Mm-hmm.
Because they have that deep taproot that
right.
has nowhere to go.
Yeah.
So even if you buy them smaller, they'll get bigger quicker because they...
True. Yes.
I know Chris and I discussed it, but we decided to show what the trees would look like with the final design when they're all grown out so
sure,
that
yeah.
we're not putting them too close together and that mm-hmm. kind of thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's very specific. He wouldn't let me put the trees on because they didn't look precisely the way that the trees went. So Chris and his renderer made sure he had the right species for all the locations that he had.
Those yeah. look like eucalyptus.
There are 4 eucalyptus trees called out, Citriodora. So there's the renderings, and we also have sort of bird's eye axonometrics that you can, it's hard for me to say which direction we're facing because it's upside down, but.
But you can see the mechanical well also on the mm-hmm. building there.
Yeah, and of course we debated because obviously no one ever sees it from this angle, but it still just gives you a nice overall perspective of the site. So we went ahead and included that. And then just a rendered plan. Yeah.
What age do you think these trees are?
Yeah, those are, yeah, maybe 10 years. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that's sort of our prelim presentation, and I can...
You look at the electrical, too, right?
Okay, yeah. And if you want, we can flip through the planting plans and irrigation, but I don't know if that's fully necessary at this...
I looked at it pretty closely already.
Okay. Yeah, I won't waste the time then. So I'll hand it back over to you.
Yeah.
Electrical.
Switch them again.
Okay. Unless there are any questions on the landscape.
Okay. So there's a little bit of infrastructure work we need to do because it's undeveloped property. We have to move an existing transformer that's over here, and it's Edison's preferring to go to an above grade transformer located here to feed the two new buildings. This is the lighting plan. The existing lighting is going to stay in the parking lot, and we're going to put some new LED fixtures here, here, there, there, and there. And all the building lighting, which is going to have that cut sheet from Steve Handelman, it's not really for area lighting. It's more for decoration. And Steve can make them with the bulb up in the canopy so that the light's shining down and it's dark sky. He has done that before for us.
Before you leave this, are there 8 new parking lot lights or 9?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5 poles, but this one has 4 lights on one pole. So if you count the lights or the poles, that probably makes the difference.
There are 8.
Okay, I think. Now let me look. I don't know where the other 3 are. I think there's 8 lights, but there's 5 poles.
Right. She said her staff report there were 9. So I just want to make sure.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. He had, initially, he had a bunch of really ugly lights stuck on my building, and I made him take them off. Because, you know lighting engineers. They just stick like the thing that goes on the top of the pole right on the side of the building. And I'm like, no way, dude. So we moved the poles to the opposite side, made it a little challenging. He had to have one in front of the building here, which I didn't like, but over here would have been on the adjacent property and they wouldn't be allowed to shine light onto our property from there, even though it's a better location. So we left it here. Yeah. Amy. Yeah, so that was 8 on-site and currently none off-site. And this is what the light head looks like. The thing that's good about these particular Lithonia fixtures is that because they're LED, they can point each one of these tiny little bulbs a different direction. So we can get, unlike old lighting, we can now get super wide, super shallow throw, a square throw. So we're able to really control the light better so that no light goes off the site.
And these are going to be 3,000.
I believe that's what I told John to do. Yeah. Yeah, they come in all colors. So we'll get to 3,000. That's better than 4 for sure. And the thing is, 4,000K will look brighter because it's wider, and it used to be that it would show more colors, but with the new lights, they can get as many colors to show up with lower Kelvin. So 3,000 looks way better, in my opinion, too. Mm-hmm. We can look at actually what he actually specified and see. Okay. Great. I think that just about covers it. We had an alternate tile that we're thinking of using instead of the tile that is left on here. But those are all details that will get worked out in the final. Yeah. Yeah. So this is slate. And then we have a little bit of deco tile below the slate. And the slate matches the slate that's over on the Camino Real Marketplace. They have some faux arches on the side of Ross Dress for Less, I think, and Costco, where they have the 45-degree angle slate, 12 by 12 squares. So we're kind of matching that to kind of weave the two projects together. We have sandstone. It might not be as rectangular as that, but that's supposed to be Santa Barbara sandstone on the base of the, probably simulated. But the simulated sandstone is really good looking these days. Like, we did the bathrooms at the corner of Cabrillo and Garden, and it was kind of supposed to look like an addition to the historical Larco Fish Market building that was relocated. That's real sandstone. When I tell people, oh, you should go check out the artificial sandstone that we used on the public restrooms next to the visitor center, people always go, oh yeah, that looks horrible. Like, that fake sandstone on the visitor center looks horrible. Oh, that's the real stuff. The fake stuff looks like the real stuff, and the real stuff looks like the fake stuff. So We'll probably be using just a veneer-applied cultured stone or Eldorado stone, sandstone over there. And precast concrete columns here and over there. I think that's about it.
Any other colors or materials? I see Machusis has a...
Yeah, here's the color board. It's included on one of these sheets, the exterior elevations.
All right. But. Well, if that concludes your presentation, I'm going to ask Mr. Markham if there are any public comments, either here in person or online.
I do not have any speaker slips, but if there are any members of the Zoom webinar who wish to speak, please raise your hand and I will call on you. And I do have two hands raised at this time. Our first public speaker will be Manly McNinch. If you'd please accept the prompts that will be appearing on your screen.
Yes. Good afternoon. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Manly McNinch with the Southwest Mountain States Regional Council of Carpenters. And I would just like to stress that on projects such as this coming up, that it would be good for the city or local municipalities to start implementing skilled and training requirements on these projects, where we can start getting our students coming out of high school better opportunities for high paying jobs. And it's going to be incumbent on the different cities and counties and stuff like that to implement these requirements in order to make it start coming about, because we need to start getting our apprentices from our accredited apprenticeship programs better opportunities to work close to home, so they have, you know, more equal opportunities to be able to work in their own communities. And we have so many people that live in the general area that are always having to travel Ventura and even down to LA to be able to work. So if we put skilled and training local hire clauses in any of these new projects that are coming up, it would definitely benefit our city to keep our tax dollars local and to help stimulate our local economy. So thank you for your time and have a good afternoon.
Thank you, Mr. Markham. We have another.
Yes, our next speaker is Ted Hamilton Roll. If you will please accept the prompts that will be on your screen.
I'd like to remind the speaker you have 3 minutes for public comment.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Good afternoon, board members. My name is Ted Hamilton Roll, and I live across Gersh Park from the proposed project. I'd just like to voice my general support for the project design. The modern Mediterranean style is compatible with existing nearby development, including the Courtyard Marriott Hotel and many of the structures in the Camino Real Marketplace. The size, bulk, and scale of the structures are also appropriate and compatible with the neighborhood, and splitting the development into two buildings instead of one large one works well for the site. The proposed landscaping will soften the bulk of the structures, as seen from Stork and Santa Felicia. And the bicycle parking, particularly the e-bike parking, is a great amenity, and I'd even suggest adding more. Overall, the project is a big improvement over the vacant lot and will serve the community well. One concern or suggestion from a design perspective is regarding the experience of pedestrians visiting the site in the future. This neighborhood has been designed and developed around automobile use, which is unfortunate but understandable given the nearby big box stores offering destination shopping opportunities. However, this development pattern is often to the detriment of pedestrians and bicyclists who are forced to cross a parking lot or go all the way around a building to access its entrance from the sidewalk. So with this in mind, I'd suggest studying ways to make the project more pedestrian friendly while still maintaining ADA access, like relocating the main entrance towers from the south side of the building to the north side, facing Santa Felicia Drive, so they serve both the sidewalk and the interior of the parking lot. Developing in consideration of pedestrians will be increasingly important as our community's residential density increases. Additionally, I'm aware that land use is not this board's purview, but it's worth voicing support for the proposed medical office land use. With the increasing residential density already occurring in the neighborhood, we need increased essential services, including doctor's offices. And my time up, sorry.
You have 1 minute.
Okay, thanks. Yeah, and lastly, I'd just like to commend the architect and applicant team on a great project, and I look forward to seeing it as it progresses. Thank you.
Thank you. Are there any more raised hands, Mr. Marcus?
There are no more speakers on the Zoom webinar.
Very, very good. With that, we will close public comment, and I will call on board members for questions. And I know Ms. Brown has several, so I'm going to start with you.
Well, actually, I don't have. I've got many of them answered. Thank you to Ms. Scheises for helping me. The cut sheet for the decorative lights, can you provide any documentation that indicates that they're going to be dark sky compliant in anything that you provide to the city so that we know that this is what we get, that
yeah.
The light bulb isn't going to be down into the lantern itself? That's my first question.
Yeah, the light bulb will be at the top.
Right.
That one shows it at the bottom, I think, if you look closely at the photo.
I can't see, but you indicated yeah. that, and I would like to have something, because this is the only cut sheet that you're providing.
Steve, you know, he has a little shop on Milpas.
No,
and
I know.
He has everything built custom.
I know. No,
and
these are...
we could draw any kind of thing, and he'll build it for us, and then he'll add it to his catalog.
No.
So we like the look of that one, and all he can do is write it on the plan when we resubmit it, but... he doesn't have a cut sheet for it yet.
No. My question is, can you not provide some documentation that says this is what our plan is, and our fixtures are going to be dark sky compliant, such that there's no going to be blah blah blah.
Yeah.
That's the only thing. You just need something
on the plan.
On the plan, or this document, right?
I'll write just, on there.
Yeah, that says that. That's the only thing. That I'd like to see. Because normally when we see cut sheets for building lights, it's like the Lithonia thing with all this technical stuff.
Yeah, or it's a bunch of louvers. But we've worked with Steve on some other projects to put that up in the top to make it look like a traditional lantern. But actually,
no, that's a great idea. I'm just concerned about documentation.
Sure.
And then I wanted to ask about, this is not being proposed. What is it? Oh, this is
a column.
Oh, it's not a light. Okay, it looks like it's a light. Okay, it's not a lot. Okay. All right, I get that.
On this elevation, there would be one light pole in front of this building, like around here, that isn't shown, but it's on the electrical plan.
You mean a street light?
Yeah.
Oh, right. Okay, but that's different. Right, okay. All right, okay. Yeah, no, it was just confusing to me. Okay, I'll just have some other comments. Thank you very much. I just want to make a note here. That Mr. Poirier, when the Design Review Board was first formed in 2002, the first commission, or the board for the city of Goleta, the first project was Mr. Poirier's project of the Fairview Shopping Center remodel. So thank you for your long tenure with the
We haven't community. Discouraged him since.
Yes.
So Mr. King, any questions?
Do we have any sense of how many patients on a daily basis are going to be utilizing this?
Do you, Kim?
No, I don't, because we haven't spoken to anybody, any prospective tenants about this project. Mm-hmm. It's not at all. I mean, could one person take a large space and have it?
Do you know what the total, what will be the total number of doctor's offices here? Do you have any idea?
No, we have not demised the space.
Have there been any kind of allowances made for biohazard waste disposal?
Not at this point in the process.
I see. Okay, thank you.
Usually, I've done a couple of facilities like this that are, they're going to be like a med center. It's not an OSHPOD job that's going to go to the state, be state regulated for patients to have overnight stay. It's kind of for maybe X-raying somebody and seeing if they have a broken arm and putting it in a cast, and maybe a dentist would go in here. So it's not inpatient things where people are going under anesthetic. It's where people are coming out, and typically on the other buildings we've done, there's a lot of areas that are infrequently used that are necessary. Like if they're making glasses, there's an area for guys to make craft the lenses and put the frames together, and there's a showroom that might be empty if nobody's shopping for frames.
or there'd be an x-ray room that's only getting, or an MRI that would only be used when people are going in for that kind of treatment. So it's not like stacked with psychologists or something like that, where there's like only offices or things like that. There's a lot file storage. Granted, that's all going digital, but there'll still be server room in there and things like that that aren't necessarily occupied. So I don't expect the parking lot to be totally full of patients all the time. I don't know if you've been to the Sansom place up off of Las Cienaguetas, but it hasn't been full, though. You know, so it's probably along the lines of that, I would say.
Anything else, Mr. King?
No, that's it. Thank you.
Mr. Iman?
No questions.
Ms. White?
No questions.
Ms. Clinton?
Can I come back around on questions and comments together? Can Martha go before me?
Okay. Mr. Gases.
With apology, Mr. Gillian, I'm going to ask you, please, just to quickly confirm what the species are in the parking lot by the ice rink. I see that it's Quercus agrifolia in the center, and the end aisles is?
I believe it was sycamores, but.
Okay, you indicated it was native, so probably, yeah. And then the tipuanas are at the corner of Stork Road.
And the little Fry Avenue, I think it is, or
okay.
Fry Road, and also along that southern boundary, wherever we had enough room for them. Kind
okay,
of,
I
enough,
see.
Root zone.
And then can you tell me where the olive trees occur? Are those at the corners of the buildings?
Yeah, I think there's only there's maybe four, and they are, if we go back, I think kind of in between the buildings for the most part. So, okay.
And the Stenocarpus or firewheel trees are along Santa Felicia?
Correct.
Okay. And then the four trees near the flowering plums that are anchoring the center parking mm-hmm. lot space are...
Right. Sorry. Oh.
Are those the cerises?
No, those are the prunus, the purple leaf plum.
Yeah, are those not in the center of that?
Yeah, they're in the center.
And then the four that are basically anchoring those.
I believe.
Sircan.
Oh, that's labeled incorrectly. I believe the call out for those was the Cedrella physalis.
Oh, those are the Cedrellas.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
That's an incorrect label.
Okay. I understand, I believe, now. The trees that are between the ice parking, the ice rink, existing parking lot, that are on either side of the entry to the mm-hmm. parking lot to the south and north of the ice rink, those are...
Yeah, Platanus, sycamore or London Plain. I can't remember which.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And where do the Coleopteria occur?
On the south side of each building, in the middle.
Okay, I see now. All right, thank you very much. I was having a little trouble with that. Okay, great.
It's a little different on the prelim plan that you're looking at, but there is a series of planting plan sheets.
Oh, brilliant.
In this set.
Deeper in the main set.
Great. I'll go through that. Okay, thank you so much. Mm-hmm.
Thank you. I have a couple of questions. Well, more than a couple, but the first couple are towards staff. Ms. McGuire, in the staff report, the size, bulk, and scale analysis excludes the buildings to the east of Stork Road, while Home Depot is further away than the car wash or the adjacent building. Is there any meaning behind that, or are you limited just to one portion of the site?
Thank you, Acting Chair Whalen. There's actually no specific guidance for that. It was just a choice that I made to use the ones that I think that when someone is a pedestrian or a vehicle, that that's what they would be comparing it to, as opposed to across the street, which is sometimes looked at differently.
Very good. I suspected as much. I just didn't want to lose sight of the fact that there are other sized buildings other than those in the staff report. And the second one may be a little trickier, Ms. Chang, you might ring in on this. Is the fire station part of the county, or is it the city of Goleta? I think it's the county.
It is the county.
All fire stations are from the county. I thought so. So my question is, do you have any information on their long-term plans? No, I wouldn't think so, but it might be worth considering at some point. All right, then, more to the point. Mr. Poirier, there's quite a change in topo elevation across the site. So is there going to be some fill for Building B, and how is that handled or resolved in the landscape plan?
Initially we had the buildings at two different levels, which caused some complexities for going from one building to another with an ADA path of travel. So as a result, we're filling the site for Building B. I want to say it's like 42 inches up, and both buildings are actually at the same level. Mm-hmm. So
is that imported materials?
It's probably going to come from that site when we dig the foundations and balance over on the other side.
And you'll try to balance. Yeah. All right, very good.
So the story poles reflect that difference. That's why if you look at the story poles, the building appears bigger when you look at Building B than when you look at Building A, because it actually is higher. Mm-hmm. Building A is almost at the grade, which I think is 30.5 above sea level, and the other one's 42 inches higher.
My next question is more broadly related, but it does affect the grade elevations. Did you investigate any other site locations, any other arrangement of buildings, and if so, why was this the preferred?
We did, and I think staff directed us to put the buildings forward as opposed to do the typical layout, which is to have the parking lot in front with the building set back. So we honored that. We tried to get another curb cut at the end out onto Glen Annie, but traffic shot us down, as did the fire department. But if you look in detail at the site plan, there is an access gate for the fire department to break through the gate and come on in to fight a fire from that side if they had to.
Hopefully it's Station 11. And is there any plan to phase the project at this point, or it's proposed all at once?
All at once is my understanding.
Very good.
That utilities are all commingled, so it would probably be way cheaper to build them both at the same time.
If I may add, Mr. Chair, the parking lot lights are going to be upgraded in the old lot, and you're going to do that at the same time you probably put in the new ones or something similar.
That process is underway
okay,
now.
Okay, so anyway, okay. Okay.
All right, back to our regularly scheduled program. I saw on the plan the trash enclosures, which are near the Ice Palace. Do you have any more information on what that might actually look like?
It'll look like a stuccoed wall. The trash enclosures for the ice rink are back in that corner as well, and having it here is sort of centrally located. It's ADA accessible through that gate on the side. And then over here we have the inevitable car charging units that otherwise would be freestanding. We built a little enclosure for them on the end of the trash enclosure there.
And the service gates on the enclosure?
We're thinking they'd be metal painted.
Painted metal, very good. And then I was pleased to hear, Ms. Jesus, that the daycare does have an exterior. And to the landscape, does that trellis have a vine on it, or is it merely just for shading?
No vine. But there would be a metal perforated screen on top to get that shade.
Very good. I think that's all my questions. Are there additional questions, Ms. Brown?
I do have one more question. The interaction of the parking lot lights with the landscaping.
Mm-hmm.
Can you explain that to me? Because I don't get what, if there is any, if the lights are being shaded or what.
Right.
Can you just explain
that's
that?
That's been a sort of a battle from the beginning. So we're trying to, not have that conflict wherever possible. And I think the...
We're putting the lights outboard here and the trees inboard closer to the building so that they'll be able to trim the lights or trim the tree right around the light pole where the
standard
is.
But the trees ultimately will be taller than the 18-foot light poles, right?
Correct, yeah.
Okay.
So there will be some underneath maintenance involved there in the beginning stages.
And that will be the case for all of the 8 lights with the adjacent landscape?
Actually, I don't think it's all of them.
Okay, it might just be some of them.
A couple. Mainly, I think, this one and in front of building B.
Okay.
That's where the discrepancies are.
I think that was my only question. Okay, thank you.
Sure.
If there are no other questions, I'm going to turn to Ms. Clinton for your questions and comments.
Thank you. Okay, I've been listening to what everyone's saying, so I have a few things. First of all, beautiful watercolor. All your drawings are awesome. You have a lot of detail and stuff, so I really appreciate it. Your presentation was fantastic. Obviously, you've been here a long time. So I just want to say kudos for the work on that. In terms of these boardwalks that are coming through, I just want to make sure that, you know, wheelchairs are wider than you think. And I know the ADA specifies like it has to be this wide, but if you've ever pushed a wheelchair with someone in it, you realize that it's quite tricky to get through some spaces, and it's also tricky to make sharp corners. Especially if the landscaping is there, if you can turn the inside of the corners, the outside of the corners, so that you can actually get around with the wheelchair, that would be appreciated, I'm sure, by everyone. Also, the type of the patterns of what bricks and stuff you use. Sometimes when you use little ones, then at each one of those, you're like hitting the, and if you have a really heavy person that you're trying to push in a wheelchair, it's tricky. In terms of having your wheelchair access be a certain way, I know it can't be too slippy. I get that. That also is a problem on the other side.
I don't think we're doing permeable pavers for the flat work.
We
might have to on some other projects. We were able to get some bioswales in.
I was just meaning the ground joints between regular pavers.
Yeah. Okay.
Where it goes chunk, chunk, mm-hmm. chunk, chunk, chunk.
I don't think we have pavers at all.
We have to use those dots, though, the detectable warnings, which
are
really bad.
I'm not talking about the dots.
And
it's horrible.
They yellow now,
we have to go around them, and then you get all really tricky with the wheelchairs to get around them because it's difficult. You were showing some paving patterns here. So even if there's like a slick root, I don't know.
Probably used colored concrete and put some fancy pattern on it, you know?
Just I would recommend doing it as minimal as possible and then also coloring. I don't know if you guys have been to Ice in Paradise, but it is hot in that. You're glad by the time you get into the icy, cool air. Even you get back out to your car, you're just like, whoa. It's baking in the sun.
Those trees will help.
Yeah, the trees will help. And on that note, I would ask you to consider, can we turn to the landscape?
Mm-hmm.
I think it's 3.45.
Towards the back.
The pretty one. That one. So you have this great connectivity there that comes through and between the buildings, right? So that from most of the spaces and from the street, you can get into where you're going. But there are some lost spaces where the only option that you have is to go out into and then walk on this hot pavement. So if you can grab some of those lost spaces with some sort of connectivity, I would recommend it. It's great.
Like this space.
Out of, yeah.
We'd have to take out landscaping, Chris.
No, and I wouldn't recommend that, so I'm not suggesting that. I'm just asking if you can change, maybe how wide your things are in some places or whatever you have any adjustment that you can do in that.
That's also vehicle overhang, so rather than, yeah.
And if but you point taken. The landscaping, like if you're overparked, maybe there's a way that it can be that you can increase the landscaping and increase that connectivity to the creek. Just in terms of so that you can also walk, but then you can also have a little bit of overhang, and there's some way for people, most people, to get sort of safely where they're going.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. It's just a suggestion. I'm
sure.
Not,
yeah, noted.
It might not be possible, but I would at least look at it. Please use the native sycamores and not the London plane trees, if at all possible. Or
sure, I'm pretty sure that's what we call that.
I'm sorry, I'm speaking into the mic. Willows, I know there's sort of a trim-up factor with willows, but they do grow very well in this creek area that you guys are looking at. And then ongoing maintenance, you have some things in your details about putting the things around the trees to hold them for the first couple of years, and I come back a lot of times the trees are dead because nobody's taken them off. So if you specify in the detail that after a year or two they need to be removed so it doesn't kill the tree. It's, sorry, little bug thing on my thing, but I noticed your detail, so I put there. The daycare, great, awesome for employees and guests. That's a great idea. I don't have a lot to say about that other than I think it's a great idea.
I have to be honest about something.
Yeah.
Is that when we were at the city council hearing for the initiation of the specific plan amendment, two of the council members suggested it.
That
so that's where the credit goes.
All right. Well, you guys implemented it.
Yes,
so
it's a great idea.
Power to yeah. I mean, when you have to go to the doctor, it's trying to drag a bunch of kids with you is tricky. Then the bikes and having bike charging stations, I believe you said you would in the covered ones. How many of the covered ones are we looking at?
We have 12. We have 6 at this building and 6 at that building.
Okay.
Right there.
Okay, that's good. And then for the overflow bike, just outside parking, what are we looking at?
We have 12 there as well. I think three racks on this building that are actually under the canopy at the first floor level, and I think the three over there are not underneath the canopy, just down by the bus
stop,
sort of.
And then your new slick wheelchair exit, make sure you don't want to have bikes and wheelchairs. You would think they would go together, but it's tricky.
Yeah, we have on A1.1, these little dotted lines are where all of the pedestrian wheelchair access points would go, like even to the trash. You know, and it would, of course, continue over here to Ice and Paradise and down on the soccer field and stuff there. But
and isn't there one along the willows as well on that side of the?
It's not ADA.
Over here?
Like across here, I don't think is. Yeah.
Along the creek? I thought there was one on the creek side too.
I'm not sure if there's. Yeah, maybe on this other side of the creek.
Yes.
I'm not sure.
Okay. Anyway. Okay, good. Downtown, they're having a really successful renting e-bikes, like having little things where you can take them back and forth from UCSB and stuff. This might be a handy thing.
Oh, the ones that you rent.
Yeah, and like even if you station most of them somewhere in Isla Vista, then when you went to the doctor, you could take your, anyway.
Good
you
idea.
You probably have to bring it back, but somehow, if.
Maybe where we have more landscaping like here. We could make a little bulb out for like Lime scooters or whoever the heck runs those things. Usually they pop up without any approval. In my experience with them.
Well, maybe it could be like charging for parking, but you're not charging for parking. Yeah. You're charging for usage. And then, you know, even if they're coming over to go to the other shops or whatever. You had too much to drink. You got to get home. Whatever. I don't know. So asphalt color. I talked to you guys about that. It sounds
asphalt
like you're.
Color?
Yeah.
What color?
Well, the blacker it is, the hotter it is, and the stickier it is. And it gets pretty sticky. I'm happy to have the trees there. But the heat island effect will significantly impact your trees as well.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm not sure there's options on color for asphalt.
Well, yeah, you'd be surprised. Okay. Maintain measures, standard training. Oh, and the guy who called about having student apprentices and training being used as part of the city thing is probably outside of our purview. So I'm going to leave it at that.
Thank you. Thank you.
All right, thank you. We pick up with landscape comments. Mr. Gasis, you have some?
I do. I've got a couple building comments to it. First and foremost, I think the renderings and the way that your presentation is really elegant, and certainly appreciate that. It's really beautiful. So one of my former questions, but Mr. Poirier answered, is so we're not going to see any roof equipment above that, those parapets. And that's really great. As far as the building materials, I like the restrained use of the real sandstone. I think that's a very nice touch. And the concrete tile and the decorative tile and so on, I think that's really, really lovely. And the color choices of the buildings, the whole design is just very restrained and appropriate, and beautiful attention to detail on that. And the massing is very elegant, the colonnades and so on, all of it's beautifully done. I like the tree palette very much. I think it's a nice mix of evergreen, broadleaf evergreen and deciduous trees. Of course, the native trees are going to be beautiful in that parking lot, and I would echo Ms. Clinton's comment about using the tree that's genetically native, witness tree, I think, out of San Marcos Growers, I think is really great. It's not a mix of the London and the California sycamore. It's genetically more pure. Mm-hmm. I think the herbaceous palette's really great. The shrub palette's just fine. I really like the inclusion of the cedrella or the cigar tree. The sycamores and the eucalyptus are all going to make a nice skyline effect for the project and really frame it beautifully. And I also like the way that you've arranged the tree palette such that it creates different zones and recognizable spaces within the parking lot and the building interstitial spaces. So I think it's really just absolutely commendable, and it'll be beautiful. So thanks a lot.
What were the trees that were in here? Was it cork oak?
Yeah. Not cork oak, just the agrifolia, the coast live oak.
Yeah, Chris helped us redo the landscaping over at Fairview. And there were a few trees that just did not. I think we had cork oak and maybe coast live oak in small planters like that, and they did not thrive. Most of them died, and when we came back through, we ended up replacing those with the ones that, through Darwinian trial and error, like being in parking lots. And so I think that place is really coming into its own now that the trees are probably 20 years old now. And we've replaced the ones that didn't thrive with new ones. It's going to be even better when those grow up. Like I think in the front of Vaughn's, you got new ones, and somewhere on the side of Osh, right?
Correct. Yeah.
So, so we're going with the ones that we think will thrive over here, based on them thriving in other places that have a similar situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a lot of it's about the subgrade prep when you're trying to do the oaks, and the cork oaks are always problematic.
Yeah.
All right, moving on, Ms. White, it's your turn.
No comments at this time.
Okay. Mr. King.
I have no comment.
Ms. Brown.
Well, I always have comments. So thank you for indulging me. I appreciate it. I commend you for a really grand and handsome project. And the landscaping is just wonderful, too. I just have I should have asked this question as I'm thinking about the project. So this tower, I realize it hides the elevator. Are there any signs or anything planned for that? No. The signs are only.
I don't know who the tenant is, but there might be a sign proposed there.
Oh, okay. So that could be, okay. All right. Okay. So.
Like if Cottage were to take this.
Oh, I see. They could put one there.
Outside of town, new guy coming to town who wanted like a medical center.
Okay.
That's kind of designed to be a spot for some signage.
UCLA.
Okay. I think it's, we haven't seen a project as really wonderful as this in a long time.
Commend the client.
Well thought out.
for being a pain.
Well, that's okay. Sometimes that's what it takes. But I think it'll be a really wonderful, grand addition to the marketplace. It's your last big project there. And it's just going to be, I think you won't have any problem filling the buildings. I think they'll, I think you'll have a lot of tenants. My only other comments is I want to make sure that we memorialize the comments on the building lights about being dark sky friendly for the planner. And also we need to change the number of parking lot lights from 9 to 8 just to make sure that we're all consistent. But I love the landscaping. It's really gorgeous anyway. So it's great. And thank you, Mr. Poirier, for your long involvement in the community and always designing really great projects because, you know, I've seen a lot of them over the years, right? So thank you very much, and thanks to the applicant for going to this extent to doing that. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Iman.
I agree with the excellence of the project. I'm very impressed, and I just want to say as a community member, I'm happy at the prospect of some accessible medical care. I remember my wife with 3 pregnancies going down to Pueblo to see her obstetrician over and over and over and over again. And that's a long, long drive when you're 8 months pregnant. So might be nice to have some local access.
All right, thank you. I have a couple of comments. First of all, the design excellence and how it meets the guidelines for, what was it, the area plan that included the Camino Real Shopping
Center? The specific plan.
I really appreciate how it adheres to that. It relates to the new hotel on the other end of the block. It does make the fire station rather an anomaly. And on that point, a couple of points. This is becoming a major urban roadway along here, even though it's the back door to Camino Real marketplace. I think the corner could use some more emphasis. So it would be Building B at the corner of Santa Feliz. It had more of an emphasis and a placemaking to it. I admire the symmetricality of the buildings and the entryway. My architect wants to make it perfectly symmetrical and move that driveway right into the middle, but that kind of messes up that nice pedestrian little pergola you put in the middle. However, that entry view passageway looks right at all the fire station junk and the trash containers. So I think some more work on deferring that view, giving some specific view as one enters off of the driveway, some point of interest. It could be landscape. It could be a hardscape element, because you've done a beautiful job of symmetrically designing the whole space on the south side. Kind of falls apart there. My strict Roman sense of symmetricality would be made happy if that were developed. Let's see, what else do I have? Yes, Mr. Poirier, there's a datum line that runs, not on this elevation, that is intersected by the balconies. Did you consider, or could you consider that making continuous, or why not? This is more of a question that I'm getting back to. It's this one right here.
Yeah, that's and the finish floor, actually.
That's the finish floor. And it's intersected, made discontinuous. And I'm wondering if the composition couldn't look more settled, if it were lower. I also couldn't tell where it died as it traveled around the building.
Yeah, this isn't really, you mean this detail?
Yes.
Yeah. That just died as an element of this corner mass that steps back on the north and south side of the rest of the building.
It's a nice gesture. Perhaps it might be stronger if it were continuous rather than discontinuous. As you can tell, I'm really getting into the weeds here. I think your pedestrian connections, and this is part of our public comment, both interior to the site and how it relates to the exterior are very well thought out. And however your landscaping can cover up that elevation of the ice palace, I'm sure that's part of your considerations, as well as screening from the fire department. Those are all of my comments. Does anybody have anything else they wish to add? And Ms. Chang, you're looking for a motion and a vote?
That's correct. We're looking for conceptual and preliminary approval, a recommendation for approval to the Planning Commission, and if there's any conditions that the board wants to add to that, subject to the DRB findings.
All right. Well, with the board's permission, I will be so bold to make a motion to approve the conceptual plan and forward it to the Planning Commission with the following comments: that the proponent consider expanding the pedestrian routes through the parking lot to avoid pedestrian traffic in those vehicular circulation areas. That the proponent use the native sycamore, the local platanus, rather than a genetic hybrid, also with the willows, that you consider alternate colors for the asphalt, and I have seen alternate colors used, but they were like in Zion National Park. They were all red. It was quite beautiful, but that may not ameliorate the heat element. That the design, execution, and landscape are highly commendable and meet with universal praise from the board. That the light fixtures be dark sky compliant. And what was the parking lot?
The parking lot, there are 8 parking lot lights, not 9.
And the specific comment to be forwarded is?
Correct the drawing.
Did you have a type
well,
of?
Well, no. It was in the staff report. I believe that it said it was 9. So only 8. But the building lights, we have a cut. To be dark sky compliant.
So I covered that comment.
Thank you.
And that the proponent consider a stronger architectural element at the corner to make for a statement in the urban fabric of that area. And does that about cover it?
Yeah, that's great. And maybe something about
let's have a second and then we'll.
Okay.
I'll second.
Second and any amendments?
Oh, I was just, one of the public comments was about maybe having access to those towers from both sides of the parking lot. Or something like that. I don't know if they're coming around and everyone's coming from the inside or how that happened, but just making it accessible. That would be my
idea. Do you want to respond to that, Ms. Shias?
Well, I thought I heard him say to move the tower elements that were in the interior out to Santa Felicia. That's what I thought I heard. And I think the problem with that is that those are entering points and people would have to walk through the parking lot to get there.
Oh, I thought he was saying so make them so that you can come in from either side of the parking lot.
No.
Anyway, well, I thought that was a good idea.
Well, I can understand the architectural gesture. You might consider beefing up those corners, but short of doing relocating the towers. Okay, so I think there's a motion in there somewhere.
And
the DRB findings.
Do I need to read the DRB findings?
No,
or
no,
just that they include that the DRB motion. Findings? All right, then. And did we have a second?
Yep.
Yes.
I'll second it.
All right, then. So I believe we're ready for a roll call vote.
Member White?
Aye.
Member King?
Aye.
Member Iman?
Yes.
Member Brown? Member
DeGasis?
Yes.
Member Clinton?
Aye.
And Member Whalen?
Yes. Motion passes. Thank you very much for the proposal. And with that, we conclude all the agenda items. Do we have any announcement by board members or by staff? Ms. Chang, do you have anything for us?
Just one thing for the, there is a training for the Brown Acts for the boards and commission, which is on June 1st. So I think you've received emails on that, and just make a note to put it on your calendar. And if you can't attend, please contact the city clerk's office.
Do you recall the date again?
June 1st.
June 1st. Brown Act. Any other announcements by board members? All right, then. With that, at 4:40 p.m., we will conclude and close the Design Review Committee for Tuesday, May 23rd, 2023. Thank you, Golita, and good night.
Thank you, everyone.